Good morning, church. Good morning, church. You can now be seated. I know we're having a lot of fun with the meet and greet, but we'll have plenty of time after the service. Let me try this again. Good morning, church. There we go. Well, for those that don't know, my name is Travis Loan. Yes, I'm a native to the Valley. I've been here for 42 years. Yes, Harrisonburg's my home. I've been married for 16 of those. My beautiful wife, Corey, is in the back. And we have three beautiful daughters. Briley, who is 17, a senior in high school. August, who is 8, almost 9, who's in third grade. And MK just started kindergarten. And then we have baby Vista on the way. We have a new baby, our fourth baby girl. And we couldn't be more excited. So, yes, yes. Outside of that, my wife and I have been blessed to own some businesses here in the Valley. And I knew that God had a bigger plan for me than just owning business. And a few months ago, my world got flipped upside down for the second time in my life as I began praying to the Lord and asking Him, Lord, what is it you have for me outside of business? Because I believe business is all about personal success. But I wanted significance. I wanted kingdom significance. I wanted something that was eternal, that lasts way beyond just some dollars and cents that you make in the day-to-day world. So I started praying to the Lord. I said, Lord, what is it you want? And I heard this audible voice say, go back to Greatest Freedom Ministries. And honestly, I was comfortable where I was. I was comfortable with everything that was happening. But he kept telling me, go back to Greatest Freedom Ministries, reconnect with Carl, and tell him about the vision that you've had of Full Circle Church. And for a while, I said, no, no, no. But then I was obedient. I decided to be obedient, and I connected with Carl. We connected with Carl, and we told him the vision that God laid on our heart about Full Circle Church. And in just a few weeks, Full Circle Church will be launching for the first time in the Valley. And we're excited. We're so excited. We know God's in the midst of it. We've had confirmation after confirmation that this is what is supposed to happen. From Carl to us to his son, everything is lined up the way that it's supposed to line up. And we're so excited, like I said. I'm also excited because this is the first time ever that I share from the pulpit the message of God's Word. I'm a little nervous because I want to speak clearly and boldly what He has for you today. I don't want it to be about me. I want it to be all about Him. A good friend of mine says, we want to make Jesus famous. And that's what I want today. I want to make Jesus famous in my message that I have to share with you. So can we bow our heads and let us pray? God, I thank you for this day. I'm honored and blessed to be able to speak from this pulpit. But I ask that you remove everything of Travis right now and that your spirit would come down and speak in and through me to deliver the message that you have for the body today. God, I don't want this to be about me. I want this to be all about you. And God, would your spirit fill this place, fill our hearts, set a blaze in our hearts, so that as we leave here, we will burn for you. God, we thank you. We give you honor and glory for all that you're doing and all that you're going to do. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. How many grew up with that special stuffy in their life? That special thing as a child you took everywhere with you. You took it in the car, you took it in your crib, it was in your car seat, it was in your stroller. Everywhere you went, this special thing you went with you. Mine was a pound puppy. Mine was the bottom one there with the light skin, with the brown patch there. And these pound puppies you could adopt, and you know, I just remember that pound puppy sitting on the end of my bed, and it was real special to me. It comforted me. It's something that I loved. But August, our middle daughter, she has Gray Blanky. And Gray Blanky's been around for almost 9 years. It's been through the ringer. It's had rips. It's had tears. It's been in such bad shape that KK, for those that don't know, KK is Augs's grandmother, Briley's, or Corey's mom, sews it back for her every time there's a hole that comes along. And as you can see in the pictures, Gray Blanky used to be a little bit more whiter on the edges. It used to have a little bit more gray to it. But if we saw this on the ground, we wouldn't think nothing of it. We would probably walk by it because we wouldn't think it has any value. But to her, this has a lot of value. She loves it. Even though it's been ripped up, the head's been taken off, it's dirty, she loves it unconditionally. And this thing's been very special. And whenever it gets lost in the house, guess what? It's a panic attack until we find it. And Gray Blanky's actually faced its end quite a few times. Miss KK had to actually sew a second blanket on the back of it to hold it together. If that doesn't tell you how special this is, I don't know what will. Because she will not go without this thing, even at the age she's at. Almost 9 years old. But as I thought about this, isn't this a reflection of what God's love is for us? Even through the rips, even through the tears, God loves us. Even when we don't feel valuable, even when we may not look like much, God loves us. Just like she loves this thing. And of course, as JJ said, it's not by happenstance that we sang the songs we did, but we're going to talk about God's love today. We're going to talk about how God's love is unconditional. We're going to talk about how God's love is everlasting. And we're going to talk about how God's love is extravagant. So let us dive into the message. God's love is unconditional. Can we turn to our Bibles, Romans 8, 37 through 39? It says in the Word, know in all of these things we are more than conquerors through Christ, through Him who loved us. For I am convinced, I love that word convinced, that neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, nor any heights, nor any depths, nor anything else on creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This verse has always stuck out to me because I know it's not true, but it's something Satan's always tried to come against me. Through my sin, through the things that I've done wrong, through the mistakes that I've made, I've always felt like it drove a wedge in between me and God's love. But this verse says different. This verse says nothing can separate us from the love of God. His love is unconditional. I love what Joyce Meyer says. God's unconditional love is a very difficult concept for people to accept because in the world, there is always a payment for everything we receive. It's just how things work. But God is not like people. There is no payment for His love. through our mess-ups, through our sin, our slip-ups, through the things that we're going to do tomorrow, it will not separate you from God's unconditional love. And we see this beautifully displayed in Luke 15, the lost son. And where we were at in Luke, the son asked his dad for his half of the inheritance. And his dad gave it to him. And his son went far off. And he started living recklessly, far from God, far from his father, and started spending his money to a point where he became broke. And he found himself working in a field tending to pigs. The most lowest thing you can do. But at his lowest point, knowing that there is a famine across the land and feeling unworthy, he decided to go home to his father. And his father was standing outside one day, and he looked afar, and he could see his son coming. And he got really excited, and he ran out to his son, and he wrapped his arms around him, gave him a kiss, and said, "I'm glad you're home. I love you." And as they were walking back, the son was telling the father how unworthy he was because he had sinned against God and his father. But his father compassionately told him, "I love you. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. My love for you is unconditionally." And I love this because, you know, as I look at my kids and I think about the things they do wrong, I still love them the same. There's nothing that will ever separate the love that I have for them. The good news is there's nothing that will ever separate the love that the Father has for you and I. And I'm going to have August read some of the characteristics of God's love found in 1 Corinthians. Yeah, can we give her a hand? You can go sit down. That's God's love for us. And to come out of the paraphrase of Travis talking about Luke 15 as we finish up, Luke 15, 20 through 24 to finish up. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against you, both you and heaven, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the finest robes in the house and put them on him. Get a ring and put on his finger. Get sandals and put on his feet, and kill a calf that we have been fattening. For we must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and now has returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So let the party begin." That's great news. And just as much as God's love's unconditional, God's love is also everlasting. It's everlasting. You know, in this passage of Jeremiah, God's people's coming out of exile, and they're living far from God. Some of them are actually rejecting God. And they're living lives that are reckless. But even in that moment of coming out of bondage and still living in reckless lives and still living far from God, God was still on the scene. He was still on the scene, and he appeared to him. In Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord appeared to us saying, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. Long ago, the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with everlasting love, with unfailing love, I have drawn you to my people, to myself. With unfailing love, everlasting love, God still shows up on the scenes in our lives today, tomorrow, and into eternity. And see, it was in 1998, I was a senior in high school, graduating with what I thought the world would in the palm of my hands. A star athlete, ready to go wrestle at a college. But I was getting my classes together and grades together, which KK and Paw were helping me at the time. I realized I didn't have all the classes I needed to get into a D1 college. And I wasn't able to wrestle that year. I had to attend Blue Ridge Community College. And because my identity was wrapped up in wrestling and not in God, I found myself lost and depressed that year. And the thing I promised myself I would never do, drugs, I found myself addicted to. And for 6 years, like the God's people coming out of exile, living in sin and living far from God and living recklessly, that is my story. That's who I was. But God's love is everlasting. And for the first time that my world was ever flipped upside down, Carl Sly came into my home one night after a tragic death of my stepfather, and he prayed a sinner's prayer with me. It's the first time I ever heard the gospel. And immediately I was delivered from methamphetamines. And not only was I delivered, his son was delivered. That's good news. That's my brother-in-law. Two for one. How many times do you ever hear a meth addict, two people get saved in the same night? That's a miracle from God. That's the everlasting love that he has for us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. That's right. No matter where you're at. God wants to take your message and turn it into a message to impact this world. And his love is everlasting. It's unconditional. But it's also extravagant. It's extravagant. When you look at the definition of extravagant, it says extravagance is exceeding what is reasonable or appropriate. It's absurd. All right, has anybody ever done something extravagant for the one they love? Huh? I know I have. I did something extravagant last year. My wife and I celebrated our 15-year anniversary. By the way, this past Friday, we celebrated 16 years of being married. Yeah. But last year was the big one, 15 years, and I wanted to go all out. I wanted to go all out for her. So I had somebody come in, and this professional videographer come in and video me talking about our past 15 years of marriage and how much I loved her and how much I appreciated her and all the things that we went through just to show her my extravagant love. I bought her a new ring. I bought her this really pretty picture frame that's in our living room that has our dates on it. And I even gathered up 50 of our closest friends and family without her knowing and got together in an area to celebrate our 15-year renewal vows. And Carl, just like from the beginning, it's not by happenstance. When I'm looking back at the things that have been happening over the past couple years, Carl was there in the beginning. He was there just last year renewing our vows, and look where we are today. We don't know when things are going to happen. We just got to believe and trust that God has a bigger plan than any of us can recognize. Back on the story, so Carl came in and did this renewal of vows, and you know, I think that's pretty extravagant. But as extravagant as I think that is, it doesn't compare to 1 John 3:3. Consider the kind of extravagant love the Father lavished for us. Jesus lived and he died just for us. He suffered a horrific death so that we could have the free will to choose him and experience his love. You know, and as I was reading this passage, thought about, I couldn't imagine, I couldn't bear the weight of being faced with the reality of having to give up one of my children to save the rest of them. Can you imagine? Put yourself in that situation. But God loved us unconditionally. He loved us everlasting. And He showed us His extravagant love by willing to give His one and only begotten Son for you, for me, for the entire world, so that we can live in eternity. You know, everything in life will change. Relationships, jobs, fame. One minute you may feel like a hero, and the next minute you feel like a zero. But the one thing that will never change is God's love for us. Through our failures, through our brokenness, through our sin, whatever past things you are still haunting you, God's love's still here, and He wants you to experience it. And just like Great Blanket, it doesn't matter your flaws. It doesn't matter how many times you've been stitched up, sewn up, fixed up. God still loves you the same. He still loves you. And I don't know if there's anybody in here like me feeling like that your sin drives a wedge between you and God's love, but it's untrue. Don't accept it. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Or maybe you're in here and you just drifted far from God. And today He's calling you back and He's saying, hey, like the lost son, if you take one step, I'll come running to you. The Lord might be calling you back. Come back. You are worthy. You are worthy. The Lord will be compassionate, forgiving, because His love is unconditional, it's everlasting, and it's extravagant. Or maybe you're in here today and you just never had a relationship with the Lord. And it's your first time hearing about God's love. God wants you to know that He paid the price. He died on the cross and paid the penalties for all of our sin. And if you would like a relationship with God today and experience this love that I've talked about, you're going to have that opportunity. I've asked a few people to help me out with prayer, so if you'll come up. God doesn't want us leaving here the same way we came in. And if there's something you would like prayer for, any of those things I mentioned or anything at all that God's calling you up for, we're going to end this service by playing a melody. They call it a mashup of music of God's love. And we'll sing it, and you can stay in your seats and you can sing the song, or if you'd like prayer, any of these people will be up here to pray for you today. And we'll sing this melody, and we'll pray for whoever wants to be prayed for, and then I'll finish it out with just a closing prayer.
I could sing of your love.
You can stand if you want, or you can sit.
I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set you free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I could sing of your love forever. 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 This is my desire to worship you, Lord, with all my heart. I worship you. Yes, I do. I worship you, God, with all I have within me. I give you praise and all that I adore is in you. So I give you my heart, Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone, and every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Oh, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me.
Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you. Come on, church, sing that together. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you. In all I do, I honor you. In all I do, I honor you. Oh, how than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, a constant in the trial and the change, one thing remains, one thing.
Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love. Every day of my life, come on, you know this one, is all my life you have been faithful. Tell them all my life, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God all of my been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Oh yes, 'cause your goodness, God, your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Speak peace so unexplainable. I can hardly think as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love, love as you call. As you call me, deeper still as you call me,
deeper still
as you call me, deeper still into love, love, love.
There's no shadow, there's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. God.
Thank you. I'm just going to read the blessing, and then we're going to close. We'll be done. The blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. May His favor be upon you and your family and your children and their children. May His presence go before you and behind you and beside you and all around you. He is with you, church, in the morning and in the evening, in your coming and in your going, in your weeping and in your rejoicing. The church, our church, the Lord loves you. Be blessed and have a great day.
Proud of you, brother.
Call me soon, okay?
All right, love.